we're going to jump into the Word of God this morning. I'm praying that God would use this thought. Amen. And to be honest with you, as I came in to your meeting yesterday morning, God gave me, I had this thought, had this really the verse, the thought of the message, but God said, you need to preach this tomorrow to be an encouragement to these folks. And it's so clear that you have a burden for souls. You have a burden to reach the lost. And I just want to encourage you from God's Word this morning along those lines. Lamentations chapter number 3, and I'm going to start reading in verse number 48. The Bible says, this is Jeremiah, of course, the Bible says, "Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission. To the Lord look down and behold from heaven." Here's our verse this morning where we get our thought. "Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city." Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, as he's known for, was sent by God to preach to the house of Israel. These individuals were wicked. They were evil. They were idol worshipers and had forgotten about God. They had forgotten that they were the chosen people. Jeremiah preached for years and years without seeing any results, without having any converts, without having any fruit from his labor. Jeremiah faced many difficulties. He faced troubles, disappointments, and hardships while serving the Lord. He was made fun of. He was utterly disrespected. At one point he was placed into stocks and into shackles. Earlier in this chapter, Jeremiah reminds himself of the faithfulness of God, as well as His mercy, His compassion, His love. In our text this morning, Jeremiah is weeping profusely as he views the demise of his city, the demise of his country. He notices folks that have been taken into captivity and fallen under the judgment of God for their iniquity and sin. He makes a powerful statement in verse 51. No doubt you've heard it preached before. No doubt you've heard it quoted before. No doubt you've had this thought in your own mind before. But Jeremiah said, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." Mine eye affecteth my heart. And I just want to preach this morning, just for a few minutes, on that phrase, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." Heavenly Father, as I open your Word this morning, God, I need your help. I'm asking that you touch me this morning, God. Lord, I'm just a vessel, and I pray that you'd cleanse me, fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that your Word would not fall upon deaf ears this morning. God, may we be hearers of your Word. God, speak to my heart as I preach. God, I pray that when this message is over, I pray that these folks wouldn't remember the messenger, but rather I pray that they would remember the truths from Scripture that we look at, the truths from your Word. We love you, Lord. I need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Eyes. Our eyes. Our eyes are a powerful instrument given to us by the Lord. They're a tool that help us through life. Our eyes, or what we see, helps us build perspective and take initiative. Where we look and what we see affects us. Our eyes are powerful. Our eyes can distinguish around 10 million colors. That's a lot of colors. Our eyes can focus on about 50 different objects every second. Our eyes are directly connected to our brain and use a large portion of our brain. In fact, they say that our brain uses about 33% of our brain is used for image processing. Jeremiah here in this text, in this passage of Scripture, what he saw affected him internally, causing him to take action. I ask myself, as Jeremiah says, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart," what did he see? I want to give you a few things that Jeremiah saw this morning. What did he see? Number one, he saw a solitary city. A solitary city. Chapter 1 in verse 1 says this, "How doth this city sit solitary that was full of people? How is she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces, how is she become tributary?" Jeremiah saw this solitary city. He recalls what it used to be. He recalls the good things that were in this city. He recalls the great things and the good things that used to happen in this city. Jeremiah sees that. This city used to be booming. This was once a great city, but it has now been taken into captivity because of sin. Verse 8 of chapter 1 says this, Jerusalem hath grievously sinned. Therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backward. A city that was once doing good has now gone bad. A city that was once under good leadership and moving in the right direction is now taken into captivity. A solitary city. This represents in all life perhaps things and areas that we used to be good in our life, and we used to have a good place in our life, but for some reason maybe we've backslidden a little bit. Maybe we used to have a great, tremendous walk with God. Maybe we knew what it was to get up in the morning and to open God's Word and learn and glean truth from His Word and enter into the throne room of our Savior and pray. And we saw what it was to have prayers answered. And we saw what it was for God to work in our life. And we saw what it was for God to do things in our hearts, in our lives. But for some reason, we backslid from that area. Perhaps we used to have a heart and a passion for souls. Maybe you used to come faithfully to pass out tracts and spread the gospel and tell others about Jesus. And maybe you've strayed from that a little bit in your life. And maybe you're not what you used to be. And you're not giving God's Word to others like you should. Maybe it's a genuine love for God and for the brethren. Maybe you used to just love being around the people of God. Maybe you used to love the communion and the fellowship with believers. But maybe you got offended somehow. Maybe somebody said something to you at church and it caused you to kind of backslide a little bit. And maybe there's some bitterness in your heart and some difficulty in your life because of it. But I ask you, my dear friend, today, and I ask myself today, are there some areas in my life that I've backslidden? Is there some things in my life that used to be good, where I used to be on track, where I used to be fully surrendered and fully committed, and where the Spirit of God was in full control and the Spirit of God had liberty to work? Is there things in my life? Was I a better Christian before than where I am today? I ask myself, do I have any solitary places in my heart today? In my Christian walk, is there anything in my life that isn't what it used to be? Or perhaps it's not what it should be? Jeremiah saw a solitary city. Secondly, I want you to notice that he saw a spiritual crisis. A spiritual crisis. Chapter 2 and verse number 11 says this, mine eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth for the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the sucklings swoon in the streets of the city. They say to their mothers, where is corn and wine? When they swooned as the wounded in the streets of the city, when their soul was poured out into their mother's bosom. Verse 13, what thing shall I take witness for thee? What thing shall I liken to thee, O daughter of Jerusalem? What shall I equal to thee that I may comfort thee, O virgin daughter of Zion? For thy breach is great like the sea. Who can heal thee? Jeremiah is saying that there's a generation that has forgotten about God. And because the generation has forgotten about God, it is now showing up in the lives of their children. It is now showing up in the lives of the next generation. And Jeremiah realizes they are in the midst of a spiritual crisis. The sin of one generation has affected the next generation. My dear friend today, have you noticed a spiritual crisis in our world today? Yes. This world is in a mess. This world is full of trouble. This world doesn't have the churches like it used to. The spread of the gospel perhaps isn't as prominent in certain places as it used to. According to a research study done last year, Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world today. My dear friend, that statement right there impacts my heart. I see that statistic. Mine eye sees that. And I become burdened for the lost. I become burdened for those that haven't heard about Jesus Christ, who can save you from a place called hell and can take you to heaven when you die, can write your name in the book of life and can change your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never experienced a changed life. Maybe you've given yourself to sin, or maybe you've tried other religions and you've tried other things. You've tried possessions and you can't find that inner peace. Right. You can't find that inner joy. Right. Can I say, dear friend, you can find it in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one. Jesus can calm your heart. Jesus can come into your life, can take you from the road that you're on, and He can turn you 180 degrees, headed in the right direction, serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hey, Jesus can. Jesus can do that. People, even though despite we're in a spiritual crisis, people are still open to the gospel.
Yes, sir.
I'm amazed, Pastor, at the reception that we have, even in our area in Santa Clara, California. And I'm amazed at the reception, just what I've seen here in this area. People are searching for the truth.
Yes, sir.
When I was a senior in Bible college, we were out knocking some doors. And I knocked at a door, and a gentleman came to the door. And I said, "Hey, my name is Elisha. I would like to invite you to church tomorrow. I would love for you to come to church tomorrow." He said, "Okay." I said, "Sir, what's your name?" He said, "My name is AJ. I said, "AJ, it is so good to meet you." And I'll never forget, it was an apartment complex, and we had to walk up several stairs, and we were walking up those stairs, and I stood and I was speaking with him on the top of those stairs. I remember speaking with AJ, and I said, "AJ, if you died today, if you entered eternity today, do you know if you would go to heaven? Or would you go to a place called hell? Do you know for sure, AJ, that you're on your way to heaven?" AJ said, "No, I don't know for sure." I said, "AJ, would it be okay if I just shared with you a few Bible verses that can help you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven?" He said, "Yes, I want you to share those with me." I began to go through that gospel track, and I shared those verses with AJ. AJ bowed his head, and he trusted Jesus as his Savior at his doorstep. I said, "AJ, I want you to join me at church. Can you come to church?" He said, "Yes." I said, "AJ, we have a van that comes in this area, and we pick up moms and dads, boys, girls, dogs, cats, goldfish." No, we don't pick up that, you know. But I said, "We pick up everybody, AJ. And we'd love to have you come. You can either drive in or you can ride in that van." He said, "I want to ride in the van." I said, "Okay." He said, "I want to bring my family. Can I bring my family?" I said, "Of course you can bring your family." He loaded up in that van with his three sons, and they came to church on Sunday. And I tell you what, they came weak after week, and the weeks turned into months, and months turned into years, and now several years later, there's a man attending North Valley Baptist Church, sitting in his place this morning. His name is AJ. He's gotten saved and baptized. His wife has gotten saved and baptized. His children have been saved and baptized, and he's in church today, not because I did anything special, not because of me, but because of what Jesus Christ did in his life. Hey, I'm telling you, it works. The gospel works. Amen. Dear friend, today, He can change you forever. He can take the road that you're on and turn you around so that you're living for Him.
Amen. Good. Thank you.
His name is Tyler. Tyler. Tyler was my coworker. I had the privilege of working with Tyler. I worked with Tyler for a few years. Tyler had a strong Catholic background. Tyler grew up Catholic and grew up going to Mass. Grew up confessing his sins, was baptized at extremely young age. Tyler, there were several of us in our company that we worked in. There were several of us that tried to share the gospel with Tyler. Tyler never really opened up to the gospel. I was in college at the time, and I left, and my wife and I moved, and we served the Lord in the Midwest for a couple years, and I kept praying for Tyler. I knew that there were people around Tyler that knew him, that were praying for him, that he would trust Jesus as his Savior. I knew that there were people around him that were going to try to share the gospel, and I just prayed for Tyler. I said, every single day, I just had it in my prayer journal. I said, "Lord, would you help Tyler to get saved? Lord, would you help Tyler to get saved?" And I would come back, and I wouldn't hear any good news. I wouldn't hear that he got saved. Sure enough, this past fall, I heard the news that Tyler was shared the gospel by somebody, and Tyler accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. Amen. I said, wow. I said, praise the Lord. I said, God answers prayer. Dear friend, maybe there's a co-worker, or maybe there's an individual in your life that you need to pray for that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. Can I say your prayers will work? Tyler accepted Jesus as his Savior. My wife and I moved back to North Valley to serve there, and I heard the good news that Tyler had gotten saved. And the individual that led him to the Lord connected me back with Tyler. Good. And I showed up at Starbucks to meet Tyler. And I hadn't seen him since. And Tyler comes walking up. And Tyler says, hey, did you hear what happened to me? I said, yes, Tyler, I heard what happened to you. He said, I got saved. I said, praise the Lord, Tyler. Amen. Tyler sat down there. This is I'm not lying, brother. He sat down right there at Starbucks. He said, all right, I'm saved. I said, yeah, Tyler, you're saved. That's great. He says, all right, this is what you do, right? I said, huh? I said, what? He said, this is bread and butter for you, right? Like, this is your job. This is what you do, right? I said, yes, Tyler. What Tyler was saying is, Elisha, could you help me understand the scriptures more? Could you help disciple me? Good. Could you help grow me? Could you take me and could you show me the Word of God and show me how I can live more for Jesus Christ? And there are a few of us that have been trying to pour into Tyler, trying to share the Scripture with him. And the gentleman that led him to the Lord got Tyler a Bible. And Tyler said that he's been reading God's Word every single day. Good. And Tyler's been studying his Bible. I talked to him about baptism just last month or the month before. I had the privilege to stand in the baptismal waters and baptize Tyler, and it was the privilege of my life. And I'm reminded in that moment that God is still interested in saving souls. Friend, today there's people of all walks of life that you are with. Maybe it's just somebody that you see at the grocery store. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a mom. Maybe it's a dad. Maybe it's a son. Maybe it's a daughter. But there's somebody that you know that only you can reach. Somebody needs you to share the gospel with them amidst a spiritual crisis. I believe the last thing that Jeremiah saw, he saw a solitary city. He saw a spiritual crisis. But I believe with all my heart, and I know that Jeremiah saw a Savior that cares. Amen. A Savior that cares. Look at chapter 2 and verse 19. Jeremiah says, arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches. Pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward Him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. Jeremiah is saying, he's saying, folks, you have to turn to Jesus. He's saying there's somebody who cares about you. His name is Jesus. He's saying, turn to the Lord. The Lord can rescue you. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 58. This is Jeremiah praying. He says, O Lord, Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. Amen. Hey, this morning, friend, I know my Redeemer lives. He lives inside my heart. Amen. He has redeemed my soul. And yes, amidst this solitary city and amidst the spiritual crisis, I know that deep within me, I have a Savior that cares. He cares about me. He cares about my life. He cares about the walk of life that I'm in. He cares about the people that I encounter that I can reach. Look at chapter 5 and verse 19. The Bible says, Thou, O Lord, remainest forever. Thy throne from generation to generation. Jeremiah is saying, we have a Savior that cares. We have an individual in the Lord Jesus Christ and the God of heaven that cares about your soul. Yes, he saw a solitary city. Yes, he saw a spiritual crisis. But he saw a Savior that cares. How do I respond? Brother Swanson, yes. How do I respond? Well, Jesus can forgive. Jesus can help us when we fall. Jesus can be the recipient of our faith. Maybe you have backslidden a little bit. Maybe things in your Christian walk aren't what they used to be. Well, friend, can I say that we serve the God of the second chance? The Bible says that He will uphold us with the right hand, and He will help us when we fall. Amen. We can get back up. We have a Savior that cares. You say, yes, Brother Swanson, Jeremiah, this is what he saw. And yes, this is what is in our world today, but how can we ever make a difference? How can we ever do what we can do? How can we do it? First of all, I believe we have to call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. Jeremiah called on the Lord. Chapter 3 and verse 55 says this, I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Friends, today there are things in your life and things in my life. The only one that has the answer is the Lord. Yes. And we must yes. call on the Lord our God. Amen. He will hear us. He will help us. Amen. And He will give us hope. Call on the Lord. Secondly, I believe, how do we respond from our eye affecting our heart, from what we see in our world, from the despair, the loneliness, the brokenness, the emptiness that we see? How do we respond? We call on the Lord. Secondly, I believe we need to develop a real burden for souls. Develop a real burden for souls. I'm asking God to help me in my life, especially right now in this area. I want to have a deep and profound burden for souls. I want God to place in my path people that I can witness to. I want to go out of my way to spread the gospel, to pass the gospel track, to share the gospel with people. My dear friend, do you have a genuine burden for souls? Hell is real. And hell is real, and we don't know the future of souls. Souls are dying. Souls that are in sin, that are lost without hope, and they need somebody to share the gospel with them. Hey, friend, can I tell you there's more AJs out there? Friend, can I tell you there's more Tylers out there? Friend, can I say there's people right here in Burnaby that need to be saved? There's people in Surrey that need to be saved. There's people in Vancouver that need to be saved. Friend, can I say God can use you to share the gospel with folks so they can get saved. Call on the Lord. Develop a real burden for souls. My wife and I have the privilege of being the youth pastor and the youth pastor's wife there at North Valley. And I tell you what, I love it. It's the best. I mean, these college students have been okay to hang out with, but I'd rather, no, I won't say it. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Y'all are awesome. All right. Amen. All right, they're like, okay. No, I'm just kidding. I love teenagers, love working with teenagers. One of the things we do is we try to go soul winning on a weekly basis, a time to knock doors and spread the gospel. A few weeks ago, one of our teen young ladies was out and about, and she got to share the gospel with somebody.
Amen.
And that individual that she shared the gospel with, they got saved. It was this young lady's first soul that she's ever won to Christ. Amen. When she got back on the bus, she began to weep and she began to cry. And when I heard that, when I saw that, I thought to myself, that's somebody that has a real burden for lost souls. I thought to myself, Lord, forgive me as a youth pastor for not having a burden like that young lady had, for not being broken in tears for lost souls that have been saved. I think of times in my life and moments in my life when I haven't been as good of a witness as I should have been. My wife and I had a landlord and a landlord and his wife for 2 years. I prayed for them every day that they would get saved. I did my best. I gave them invitations to church. I gave them flyers. I gave them things with the gospel on it. But I know in my heart of hearts that I didn't do enough to share the gospel with them. And I tell you, it hurts me. Every day I pray that God will give me another chance, another opportunity to be more bold and aggressive in sharing the gospel with them. And it hurts me that a soul was in my path and it was somebody that I could have easily witnessed to and been more bold with, but I wasn't. My dear friend, don't pass souls by. Have a burden for souls. Call on the Lord. Develop a real burden for souls. And lastly this morning, fight on regardless of the results. Fight on, regardless of the results. Jeremiah is the premier example of this.
Yes.
Jeremiah just continued.
Yes.
He just kept on keeping on. Amidst the difficulty, amidst times when he would try to preach repentance to folks, and they rejected him, and they persecuted him, and they hurt him. What did Jeremiah do? He kept on keeping on. The Bible said that Jeremiah even thought about quitting. He thought about throwing in the towel. But he failed. He experienced a fire that was burning deep inside of his bones for the ministry. A fire burning deep inside of him to share the gospel with people and to preach repentance through opposition, through pain, through disappointment, through trials, through seasons of dryness and of no fruit. Jeremiah kept on going. He fought on. He fought on. My dear friend, today you may think, I don't know what I could ever do. I've never seen any fruit. I've never really experienced God bless. And I don't know why I should even keep on going. I don't see the point in witnessing to people. I don't see the point in passing tracts. I don't see any results. I have trouble in my own life. Can I say, fight on regardless of the results? Hey, we plant the seed and God gives the increase. We sow in tears so that maybe us, maybe somebody else can reap in joy. Missionary David Brainerd said this, "I care not where or how I live or what hardships I go through so that I can but gain souls to Christ." The heartbeat of the man was souls. Souls. What soul, my dear friend? What soul? I'll never forget this teenager. Think about him almost every day. This young man, I had the privilege of working with him, and this young man had some struggles in his life. He asked me to help him. I didn't know him too well. I decided, you know what, I'm going to help this young man. I began spending some time with him, began giving him some verses and giving him some counsel in some different areas in his life. I learned more of his situation. I learned that he didn't have a dad. I learned that his mother had rejected the things of God. I learned that the guardian that he was with really didn't have too much of a desire to train him up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. I learned that this young man really didn't have too much going for him. From the outside, you could never tell. This is a young man that was faithful to Sunday school. Faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, faithful to soul winning. You would have never dreamed that beyond the walls of this young man's mind and heart and life were deep hurt, trouble, and difficulty. I showed up at his house for the first time. I didn't know what I was walking into. Knocked on the door and he invited me in. I entered that door and I began to see almost every square inch of the wall was awful music of portraits of rock music. And Brother Turner, when you walked into the house, you could sense the presence of wickedness. You could sense the presence of sin in this place. Every square inch of the walls. I didn't even look. I kept my eyes on him. Hurt me when I saw that. I began talking with that young man. As I left his house that day, walking back to my car, God gave me this verse right here. "Mine eye affecteth mine heart. Mine eye affecteth mine heart." I tell you what, I was hurt for that young man. Hey, he was trying to live for God, trying to serve Jesus with all of his heart, trying to be faithful. And I walked away and I thought, he's got nothing going for him. He's got nothing going for him. But And I thought, he can make it. He can make it. He spends time in God's Word every single day. Oftentimes he'll text me scripture that he's meditating on and working on and praying over, reading over. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. Dear friend, today, what have you seen? Perhaps maybe this is just a call to open your eyes, yes, to see the lost. Yes. You've heard this before, but everyone is walking around with an S or an L on their forehead. Everyone in this world is either saved or lost.
Very true.
You and I are called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Yes, maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You don't know that heaven is your home. My dear friend, I beg of you, don't leave this premises without getting that settled in your heart, without knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Perhaps you're here today and you realize that there are areas in your Christian walk that aren't what they used, to be. Maybe there are things in your life, areas that you've backslidden. Maybe today's the day where you get closer to God. Amen. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you.
Amen.
For others, maybe this is just a call for souls. Co-workers, friends, family, people you encounter on a daily basis. People that you encounter on your efforts on Saturday to share the gospel. People that you encounter as you try to spread these thousands and thousands of flyers and tracts and gospel brochures for your anniversary. Souls, souls, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Heaven